right now it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who joins us here in the studio again for the second round of our conversation today. How are you?
I'm great, and it's like I was just here in the studio.
It was just like you were here like an hour ago.
That's right.
Yeah. So really excited about the Red Ball Project.
Oh, I am
yeah,
too.
That's super cool.
And it's funny because, Ackland is the lead on this. We are so happy that they brought us on board, brought us along for the ride. But I've been thinking about it a lot, working on it a lot, and I, see red balls everywhere now. somebody had a candy dish, and I pulled out, a fireball.
Right.
I was like, oh, it's a sign. And then, I look behind you here in the studio, and there's, a red flat or a red light thing. I'm like, oh, it looks kind of like a red ball. I'm seeing red balls everywhere.
This is blue car syndrome, right? Someone says, oh, you never see any blue cars, and then you go out
until
and you see nothing
blue car.
But
oh, right.
blue cars, right?
Yeah. So I'm definitely ready to actually start seeing the
actual red
ball everywhere.
As opposed to these fake things that are just...
Or they
warning
might just be
sirens
in my head.
That are, yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, are you actually seeing, noticing actual red balls, or are you just imagining hallucinations?
Aaron.
One never knows when it's in one's own mind.
That's right. So
How
that,
are you?
But that's not the only art thing that's happening.
What else is happening?
Well, there's lots of things happening.
Right, right.
Today on Talking Books, we're talking about are the banned books.
Banned books, yes.
And the Banned Books Week and the Banned Books Week trading cards that we do every year.
Awesome.
So
go back. Banned Books Week started as, this is the American Library Association?
So it's really a joint effort. It is American libraries, university libraries, publishers, bookstores, big box bookstores, independent booksellers. It's a whole, any bookish groups out there come together. They've been doing this for many, many, many years. It's generally the last week in September. Mm-hmm. So this year it starts this Sunday the 23rd and goes through next Saturday the 29th. And it's really a celebration of the freedom to read and a sort of educational and advocacy week about censorship, book challenges. Books are rarely truly banned these days. So there's a little bit of hyperbole there maybe, but Challenged Books Week doesn't sound nearly as sexy, right?
Well, challenged books in terms of someone assigns a book to their class and someone says, oh, we can't teach that to kids, or someone
or
puts it on display.
Or a parent has an objection.
Right.
Or they say, take this from the library shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So, Banned Books Week happens every year. It's been happening for years, and, lots of places do programs and speakers and, readouts where they read, banned books in public. But we do something a little bit different here in Chapel Hill.
Which are the trading cards.
That's right.
Yes. Which originated with you in Lawrence, Kansas.
That's
right?
Correct.
And you brought it here, which is awesome.
That's right. And actually, this weekend, I think for Banned Books Week, it's the InterCity Visit is happening. So the Chamber
Lawrence,
and lots
Kansas,
of electeds
yeah.
and lots of folks are going out there. They've actually stopped doing it. So I believe that we are the only library in the country who are currently doing these cards.
Their problem.
That's right. But anyways, yes, it started in Lawrence. I did the first year there, and then I came here, and I was so thrilled that my staff here love the idea. Mm. The community loves the idea. So this is our sixth year doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we up to six already?
This is six.
Oh, my God.
So every year, a different staff person leads it, and I meant to bring Kana with me. She was the project lead this year, but she's really busy getting ready for the party Friday night, which
right.
I'll talk about in a second. And I will say, it's one of those projects. So, this is my baby. This
yeah.
is, the one original idea I may ever have.
Everyone has one.
Right?
It's just a question of, do you seize it and blow it up into something really cool? And you did.
I did.
Yeah,
and I tried
great.
It a couple years, and everybody said no, and then somebody finally said yes, so we did it. But from the point of view of my staff, I'm always mindful, because it's always do we have to do it? This is the boss's thing. There's some, and I always try and be every year, we don't have to do this. If this still fits with our mission and our interest and makes sense. So I'm so grateful for the staff to do this every year. This year, Kana got lucky and is doing it. So how it works is we issued a call for artists back in the summer, earlier this summer, and we had about 50 or 60 local artists who submitted works that were somehow inspired by a book or an author that has been banned or challenged or censored. And then we had a jury comprised of the mayor, myself, a local author, Ann Kidd Taylor, or Ann Kidd Tyler. I just said her name wrong. Anyway, sorry. And Terish Pipkins, Jaghetto, and then Josh Rosenstein from the Arts Commission, they were the jury. We had the hard work of choosing seven winners. And those seven cards are, those seven winners are printed as trading cards.
Awesome.
Hot off the presses.
Ooh,
I've got
them
a set.
Here.
I only brought one set, so I'm going to hand them to
all
you.
Right. So are we going to talk about these, or are we going to oh, these are awesome. Oh, look at this.
That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, so, that's my favorite so far, too.
So real quick,
yeah.
While you browse those, so we choose, so they're all winners just for entering, and we exhibit all of the entries in an
Who
exhibit.
Who bans this book?
We'll talk about that
one. Oh, my
one.
God.
We show all, hang on, Era, just hold up, buddy. Hold your outrage. So we will exhibit all of the entries at the library. And then we chose seven to be printed as trading cards, seven for the 7 days of Banned Books Week. Mm-hmm. And then we give these out all week long. We used to say one each day, and you had to come in every day. We don't really have a problem with people coming to us, so
right.
We changed that model, and we give them out all week. We're also giving them out some of the Chapel Hill Carberry schools, the middle schools, and the high schools libraries will be giving them out. And I believe, I think this is confirmed, some of the UNC campus libraries will be giving them out too.
Okay.
But the idea is we give them away to both celebrate local art and to engage people about intellectual freedom.
Awesome.
And we have a big party, so Friday night. Come by. It's the exhibit launch and sneak peek. We'll have all of the artists there. It starts at 7. It's kind of a casual drop-in thing. Usually goes till 8 or 8:30. We'll have refreshments. We'll have a silent auction. It's usually a really fun party. So come out to that at 7, and you can get lots of sets of cards then. And then they're officially available on Sunday.
Very nice. So when you're doing the selection process, mm-hmm. when you're going through all of these awesome entries, what are you looking at? Are you looking like the art, obviously, but are you looking to highlight particular books, or is it an idea of selecting seven that kind of represent different kinds of or different reasons for censorship?
That's a great question. And I will say every year, I think why the project is so successful is we always choose first for the art.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all think about, like, we don't want to have all collage or all pen and ink. We don't want to have seven cards for Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
So we think about those things, but we always judge on the art first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a art competition first. It's inspired by these other causes, but that's kind of what we always lead with.
Cool.
A really cool thing this year, and then we can delve into some of the cards. Well, two great things. One, so every year we try and do something new and different. So one year we got a grant, and we had our friends at Carolina K-12, which is part of Max's outfit, Carolina Public Humanities, mm-hmm. they did a curriculum for teachers. And then we got a grant I think we shipped out like 7,000 sets to teachers across the state, and they use them in the classroom.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So that curriculum is still out there. This year, we partnered with Chapel Hill Transit. So a couple of years ago, they did an art bus, and we did a call for artists, and there was a competition, and we did this art bus. Mary Carter Taub, an artist, did that bus. And they had an interest in doing an art bus again, but they wanted to do it quickly. So I said, well, we're about to have seven great pieces of art from local artists. So Chapel Hill Transit, our dear friends over there, helped us out. And there's going to be a bus. We think it's going to be at the party Friday night. That's going to be on the road with all seven cards on it.
Oh, that's great.
Like a whole wrapped bus, large format versions of those cards on it. So come by the party Friday night starting at 7. We believe the bus will be there. And it should definitely be on the road for Banned Books Week. And we hope to always have packs of cards on the bus for the driver to give out.
Oh, nice. I like
bus,
that.
Right?
Speaking with Susan Brown, so Banned Books Week coming up. The kickoff party is Friday night, 7 o'clock, right, at the library?
And it's casual, stop by anytime.
Yeah, just come on by. It's a lot of fun. I was there last year, and it was terrific. So can we talk about can we unveil the winners
here? Let's talk about it.
All
them,
right,
yeah.
Great. Okay, so first of all, Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston, which has a UNC connection.
That's right.
Which is cool.
And why was that one banned, Aaron? You've got, so on the back of the cards, these are just like trading cards. Like, we like try and put stats about why the book was banned and some information about the artist. So
Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. Reason for banning: objections to the 1937 novel center on language, but not profanity. The criticism is that characters' phonetic dialect is taken by some to be a mocking of how English is spoken among the black community.
Right?
Wow.
So interesting.
Yeah.
And on that one, can you hand me that card?
Yeah.
The artist, when he dropped it off, he mentioned to me, and again, visual stuff on the radio doesn't always work, but come and see the cards. It's got three sort of abstracted faces on
it.
And he said, these are three African-American authors. One of them is James Baldwin. One is... maybe Richard Wright.
Richard Wright.
Maybe.
Ralph Ellison, maybe?
It could be Ellison, but the artist will be there Friday night, and we can ask him then. But there's always some really interesting stories behind the art, too. So I think that's really cool.
Really cool, yeah.
Right?
I see Baldwin. I don't recognize
the
other two,
Winnie the Pooh card.
Oh, yeah. Who bans Winnie the Pooh? That's the one that I'm curious about.
I also want a segue or sidebar here. People have strong feelings about this. And so a lot of groups will say, like, banning books, terrible. You should never challenge a book. I think that there's a more nuanced approach. Mm-hmm. I think that we live in a world right now where we're so far in our corners that I'm wary of the sort of hyperbole of all of this. Because believe that if we sit down and listen to people, like, both things can be true. Mm-hmm. People can think you shouldn't, like, schools should not have Winnie the Pooh because they're scared that it's going to offend Muslims. That's one of the reasons Winnie the Pooh was pulled in Britain. In 2003, a school in the UK banned all books featuring pigs out of a fear they might offend Muslims.
Okay.
In Poland, there have been complaints about Winnie the Pooh because he doesn't wear pants. So my point here
They've got a point.
And
he, in fact,
these,
does not wear pants.
Right. Yeah. Some of these also... people will say they're challenging these books out of deeply held beliefs, like young children should not be exposed to violence.
Mm.
So that can be true, and it can be also be true that the other side has a deeply held belief that we should not ever block access to information.
Right.
So I guess I just want to make sure that me, speaking as Susan Brown, professional librarian, I don't want us to get too far into our sides on
these. Right.
I think that we need to listen to people and understand where they're coming from. That doesn't mean that I think that we should ban or censor books. I'm just saying that we should listen to all the sides and try and understand where they're coming from and then start talking, like, from that place.
Right.
Right?
That's a good...
So that's the point
good.
Of these cards is to get people thinking about it. Mm-hmm. If they're outraged and they think about why they're outraged and all of that.
And the other thing, too, is, like, you look at the back of some of these cards, and Winnie the Pooh, for instance, I would never have thought, why would anyone challenge that book? Like, okay, so here is the reason why someone would challenge the book. And one of the cool things about the trading cards is you get to look at seven different rationales for why someone might raise an objection to this.
Right.
That. Yeah.
Right. So there's actually two trees in here. So the Winnie the Pooh card is beautiful. It's cut paper. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first card, actually, this is the... So we also hang up large format versions of these in the lobby. This will be the first one that's unveiled on Sunday. This card... what I love about it is embroidery.
Yeah.
It's not painted or drawn. It's actually
so the actual card is embroidered?
It's like needlework. It's beautiful. And so the Giving Tree, what the artist has done is she's done the tree as a weeping willow, which is a different interpretation of the tree to sort of evoke the sadness of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this one, though. So the Giving Tree, you know, children's classic, which always really made me kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
A Colorado public library pulled the book in 1988, claiming that it was sexist. Interestingly, the book's editor, Phyllis J. Fogelman, was quoted as saying that the book is about a sadomasochistic relationship and that it elevates masochism to the level of good. That was the book's editor. Like,
yeah.
It's fascinating to think about all of that,
I mean,
right?
She doesn't not have a point. I mean, like, this is one of those books where you read it as a child and you're like, you appreciate the story, and then you grow up and you reread it, and it's like, man,
right?
This is not a healthy relationship
right. Going
on here. But
so we start and end with a tree. Mm-hmm. Who else do we have over there? There's one that's the... So I'm a... As... listeners to our show know we both love Stephen King.
Yes.
And so I'm so excited about this
card. This is my personal favorite.
Right?
Yeah, so good.
So this artist is Jordan Van Hoy. Mm-hmm. And he did this really cool, evocative image of Carrie. Stephen King classic. So this is, well, you just kind of have to see it. Come to the party, come by the car, or come by the library, get the cards and see it. But four of Stephen King's novels have made it onto the ALA's most challenged list of the 90s. A parent in Pennsylvania objected to a satanic killing sequence in the book Carrie. It was called Trash in Nevada, and a high school in Vermont warned that it would cause harm to younger girls by reading this book. And again, people can think that, and that's how they feel. I feel very differently. It's one of my all-time favorite books.
Oh, yeah.
And yes,
yeah.
It's super dark and twisted.
Yeah.
All of those things can be true.
It would be a very different conversation about the book if it came out today for the first time as opposed to 74, 75 when it did.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and that makes me segue into another thing that's going on with Banned Books Week this year. Is we have two great authors coming next week.
Nice.
So Kana has organized two really great authors, and they're coming at this from the other side of the coin. So the cards are really about banned books as readers, right? Like sort of from the reader's point of view. We have these authors coming from the writer's point of view.
Oh, nice.
So we have Keith Knight, who is a great cartoonist, artist, writer, who lives in the area. He's a multimedia artist. He's got a syndicated cartoon, The Nightlife, and many, many political cartoons that are hilarious, and many might say inappropriate, and they're hilarious. And then we have Zelda Lockhart, who's a wonderful author. She's also a professor and a woman of many talents, but they're talking about the importance of writers being able to write about controversial issues and tough issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a great program. That is September 27th. I don't even know what day of the week that is, Aaron.
That is a Thursday.
Okay, yes. A Thursday. Next Thursday.
Thank
look
you. At the clock. It's like, okay, it's Wednesday
right?
the 19th. Thursday is the 20th. Add 7 to that.
Add 1, carry the 2.
It's yes.
So that's next Thursday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Part of Banned Books Week. That's going to be really great. Two great authors.
Very cool. We've only got like a minute left. Do you want to recommend your favorite banned book?
Why don't you recommend your favorite banned
book? Okay, so I was looking at, got online and looked up banned books, and there is, and this happened this year, in Rumford, Maine, the Rumford Public Library has put a Banned Books Week display up with a bunch of books on display. There is I think three pastors in Rumford, Maine that are trying to have some books removed from the display. Because these are books that promote homosexuality and they are opposed to putting those on display. So I'm going to recommend, obviously Fun Home, because every single time
right.
I have a chance, I recommend Fun Home, Two Boys Kissing by David Levithan, which I have not read, but I have read David Levithan before, Every Day, which came out as a movie earlier
yes,
this year.
That's right.
Fantastic book. He's a great writer, young adult novels, but you can't tell. I mean, these are accessible to, they hold up for anyone of any age, and that's one of the most commonly challenged books out there right now, so I'll recommend that one.
So you came into that by recommending your favorite instance of a banning of a book, right? So I will see that, and I will raise you. Our very first year, we had a beautiful card for Charlotte's Web. And
yes.
The reason that that has been banned and challenged is because of talking animals goes against some people's religious point of view. And then my favorite thing to think about there is, of course, in the Bible itself, there's a talking
animals talk.
Balaam's ass and all of that.
Right.
The other one, I'm actually going to raise you two instances. The other one was a couple of years ago. Randolph County here in North Carolina pulled Invisible Man from their curriculum the week before Banned Books Week.
Yep.
I'm just saying that's what they did.
Yeah.
Like the optics there were amazing.
That was the one where people got together and sent thousands of copies of the book to students in Randolph, right?
Yes. And let me tell you something. The best way to get a young person to read a book is to tell them they can't read it.
Yep.
So there you have it.
Yeah. And as much as I love Fun Home, if I'm making a top five list, Invisible Man is on it too.
Right.
That is such a great book. Banned Books Week starts Friday with the reception at the library, 7 p.m. Be there and check out all the banned books over the course of next week. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.